This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
God made promises of national blessings, material wealth and affluence to the patriarch Abraham. Abraham passed them on to his son Isaac, who, upon his death, passed them on to his son Jacob. Jacob divided the promises among his two grandsons, who were known as Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. There was also a promise that through Abraham's lineage, a Savior would come, one who would save mankind from their sins. That promise was fulfilled by the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came from the tribe of Judah, as foretold. But what about the promise of material wealth and blessing for the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim? When and where is the promise mentioned, confirming the fulfillment of the promise of material wealth for those boys? Stay with us as we explain the promises made to the sons of Joseph on today's edition of The Armor of God.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Hello and again, welcome to another international telecast of The Armor of God. And again, as always, it's good to be with you once more. You know, in God's Word, there are many, many promises, all kinds of promises. As a matter of fact, we titled this program, Promises, Promises, Promises. But you know, there's a promise in your Bible, a very major promise of material wealth and physical blessings that are oftentimes misinterpreted and, or for that matter, overlooked, marginalized at best, mitigated, not even considered as part of the major promise that God provided mankind, of course, in the personage of Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Savior. And don't get me wrong, that is the most important promise God could ever give as a gift to human beings. But again, there are certain promises in God's Word that, frankly, if God promised it, you must admit along with me that if He didn't fulfill those statements, well, then we'd have to call God a liar, wouldn't we? I mean, He doesn't say things in a cavalier fashion. Things that He says, He means. He doesn't say anything without a lot of meaning behind it. So I think it's fair to say, my friends, when God speaks, we should listen, and we can hang our hat pretty much on anything He has to say. Well, today I want to review one of these promises, the promise that I'm talking about regarding affluence and tremendous physical blessings to His nation Israel, and discuss it very precisely and very emphatically. And I want to bring your attention, first of all, because we've got a lot of material to cover, over here in 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings, and in chapter 12, we see the story, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it because of the sake of time, where Solomon finally dies. We had King David and Solomon, 80 years of affluence that Israel, the nation of Israel, was able to attain and achieve under the leadership of David, King David, and his son Solomon. But now Solomon dies. His son, Rehoboam, takes over the country, and the country proceeds to appeal to Rehoboam, Solomon's son, for reduced taxes and a little bit of ease on the government's weight on the people. And one of their champions from the people was a guy named Jeroboam. Now, there's quite a history with Jeroboam I don't have time to go into, but nevertheless, suffice it to say, Jeroboam spoke on behalf of the other side of the coin, for the sake of the people, appealing to Rehoboam for reduced taxes and ease of government leanings on the people. Well, make a long story short, Rehoboam consulted with some of the sages of Israel and decided that, hey, you haven't seen anything yet. You thought my dad was bad? Well, I am badder than bad, you know. And so Rehoboam came on with really just, I mean, cranking down the screws on the people of Israel. Well, it generated a civil war. And hence, we enter now the era, the time era, of what many will call the divided kingdom, where Jeroboam took 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel in the north, capital city Samaria, and established a nation counter to that of what was considered in the south, Judah, with its capital city still being retained in Jerusalem, Rehoboam being essentially the king of Judah, with Jeroboam being crowned the king of the north and situated over in the city of Samaria. And now the stage is set for approximately 220 years of battles, believe it or not, battles between the Israelites against the Jews. Now, I know many of you will say, well, that sounds like a contradictory term of terms, doesn't it? Well, not so, my friends. It gets really interesting at this point. But before we really get into the meat of this presentation, I want to interrupt myself here to present to you our offer today. We have, again, two offers that we'd like to present to you. Both free. Let me emphasize free. And, of course, that number is on your screen that you can dial and ask the operators to obtain these two free offers. One is a piece of literature. It's a reprint article, as a matter of fact, published in our international news originally, but now is available for reprint, called North America, Listen. That is, what, and answers the question, what was the faith of our political forefathers in the establishing primarily of the United States of America? And it'll take you through a little bit of history, hopefully resolving any questions about the Christian Judeo heritage that the United States of America was established on. And in addition, of course, we have a taped series called The Biblical Origins of the British Commonwealth and the United States of America. 12 hours of lectured series here of tape after tape. You'll request the first one, then we'll send you a coupon to send back to us, and we'll send you tape two and so forth. You'll get a workbook that has a lot of maps in it as well, and certainly is going to be well worth, I think, your educational endeavor to review some of this material. Again, 12-hour series is certainly a very good complement to what we're just going to basically scratch the surface on today. So dial 888-578-8791, and don't forget about that website at www.cgi.org. Now, back to the program here, because like I said, we have a lot of material to cover, and I want to be sure to be able to at least cover some of this material for your consideration. Here in 2 Kings, let's move on now from 1 Kings 12, let's move on to 2 Kings chapter 15, because I want to present to you the promise that I'm talking about, but not yet specifically. First of all, I want to take you through just a little bit of history regarding the divided kingdom. Remember, Israel to the north, and of course, Judah to the south. The capital city to the north, Samaria, representing 10 of the 12 original tribes of Israel. Judah to the south, representing basically two of the tribes, Benjamin and primarily Judah. The Levites were intermingled with that nation state down in the south, with its capital city still being retained as Jerusalem, and the king, the original king, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, who tried to raise taxes and make even the leanings of the government harder on the people, but the people revolted, as I mentioned. Here in 2 Kings, though, we begin now to get the history of what actually happened and how the divided kingdom era culminated. So we're going to fast forward now about 220 years. And we find here in verse 17, Azariah, the king of Judah. Azariah, these names I know are going to get a little confusing, but try to understand. We're talking about a distinctly different guy who was the king of Judah at this time, because we're talking now some 200 years later. Rehoboam has long died and been buried and dead since. So in this particular case, now 200 and some years down the road, we see Azariah, the king of Judah, and he, in that time, the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem. Menahem was the king of Israel. So Menahem was in the, what you could say, fashion, in the pattern of Jeroboam, and you can read about that in verse 18, where he followed the sins of Jeroboam. Again, I don't have a lot of time to go into what Jeroboam did, but suffice it to say, he maneuvered away from the God of the Old Testament's laws, statutes, and judgments. Rehoboam attempted to try to stay connected. Jeroboam did not and made no apologies for it. Suffice it to say, the 10 tribes in the north became influenced quite a bit by the pagan, heathenistic teachings of ancient Babylonian mysteries, and for 200 and some odd years allowed much of that religious influence to dilute and compromise their understanding of the true God, going back to Jeroboam. Suffice to say, this guy, Menahem, some 200 and some odd years later, becomes a victim of an invasion from the Assyrian Empire, led by a guy named Tiglath-Pileser. Tiglath-Pileser comes in and under two sieges under his command over a period of about 20 years annihilates the northern 10 tribes of Israel. Literally, I mean just devastates them, almost commits genocide on all 12 of those tribes, hauls people off into captivity into his land up near Iraq, as a matter of fact, where the Assyrian Empire at that time in approximately around 735 B.C. is when this all occurred. Finally, his cohort, another king from the Assyrians named Shalmaneser, later on, as you read down through 2 Kings 15, 2 Kings 16, you see that a third invasion occurs, another siege under this Shalmaneser of the Assyrians. And he literally completes the job of taking the 10 nations out, making it essentially a vassal state of the Assyrian Empire, and continues to move south surrounding Jerusalem. Well, as the story goes, and you understand some of this history, I'm sure, God was not about to allow Jerusalem to go into captivity at the hand of the Assyrians, and so he kills 185,000, God does, kills 185,000 of the Assyrians overnight. They put their tail between their legs and head back up to Iraq and that area where their Assyrian Empire was saddled. But, again, with all due respect to these two nations of Israelites, the point that I want to make here is that the Jews and the Israelites were two separate nations. Now, my friends, this is an important distinction to make, because the Jewish kingdom to the south never was taken out until about 100 or so years later under the Babylonians. That's right, under the Babylonians. The Babylonians beat up the Assyrians. They became king of the mountain in that particular area around by the ruins of ancient Babylon, again in the Iraqi area of today, and consequently they became the new rulers of the roost. They moved into the southern kingdom, which still remained after the 10 tribes had been long gone for over 100 years, and under the leadership of Nebuchadnezzar, this Babylonian king put the Jews into captivity for 70 years. You remember the story. And they came back, the Jews did, under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah to set the stage, essentially, in the land of Palestine under the edicts of the Persians to be afforded that freedom to do that, so that Jesus Christ's ministry of all things, and of course, we understand that prophecy had to be fulfilled by God, because why? God promised it. That was a promise that God made to mankind. There would be a Messiah and a Savior. And therefore, the stage had to be set. Therefore, the Jews were allowed to come out of their captivity from the Babylonians after 70 years in captivity to set that stage. Now, here's my question. Let's go back to the book of Genesis for a moment. I want to slow this down now just for a moment and present this to you. Genesis chapter 48, and I know I went through this fast. That's why you really do need to get some of this material that we're offering. But here's my point. Listen to what I'm about to read from the Bible. Let me put it in context. Genesis 48, Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham had a son Isaac, who had a son Jacob, who had 12 sons. Joseph was one of the 12 sons. Judah was another of the 12 sons. Levi, Benjamin, you know, all of these guys. Zebulun, they were sons. They were 12 tribes. There were 12 boys. But in this particular case, let's just focus on one because that's all we have the time for. Jacob is on his deathbed. He asks his son Joseph to come to his bedside. He's going to bless his grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim. They are the sons of Joseph, son of Jacob. Jacob switches his hands and blesses the younger with the first blessing, and Ephraim gets the first blessing. Manasseh gets the second. Ephraim, in other words, would be first. You can read here, where in verse 16, here he says that Jacob does to these boys regarding addressing Joseph. An angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, meaning Ephraim and Manasseh. Let my name be on them. What's Jacob's name? Israel. His name was changed to Israel. And he says, he goes on further, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, in verse 18, Joseph has a little problem, wants Manasseh to get the first blessing, tells his father he's got his hands crossed. But Jacob knows better and says, look, to his son, not so, my father. Joseph says that to Jacob, for this is the firstborn. But the father refused. In verse 19 of Genesis 48, I know, my son, I know he also, that is Manasseh, shall be a people and also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude or a company or a combination, a coalition of nations. And he goes on here and he says, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. In other words, Ephraim would come first. And he proceeds on here, and he says, Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you, Joseph, my son, he says here, one portion above your brethren. In other words, there were two blessings, the blessing of physical wealth, of becoming a great nation and company of nations. That original promise you can find in Genesis 12 given to Abraham of him becoming a great nation was actually split in half some hundreds of years later under the blessing here of Jacob, specifically dividing a great nation, Manasseh would become, and Ephraim a great commonwealth, company, or multitude of nations, and he would be first. So my question presented to all of you is, when did this happen? Because, my friends, if it didn't happen, then we have no choice but to accept the fact that God is a liar. Because this was a blessing. This was a promise. It was given to Jacob, who passed it down to his 12 sons. He received it from Isaac, his father, who received it from Abraham, who was given it by God because he was considered the father of the faithful. This is no small matter. This is a major promise. Yes, it's physical. Yes, it concerns prophetic promises. It has nothing to do with salvation in terms of the logistics and connection to Jesus the Christ and salvation through the spiritual circumcision of faith in Christ, who makes you a son of faith through the lineage of and attitude of Father Abraham. That's all, you could say, to the side as a separate segment of the salvific program God has established. But here's the reality, and I present this to you as a challenge. When was this promise fulfilled by the tribes of Manasseh and Ephraim? Because I just gave you a thumbnail sketch. There was no such blessing written in your Bible in the sense that Manasseh, tribe of Israel, and Ephraim, tribe of Israel, received this promise in its fullness. So my question, is God a liar? Has he accomplished this? Because if he hasn't, then we are left with no other result or conclusion but to question, perhaps, the whole Word of God. Well, needless to say, we know that's nonsense. The fact of it is, if you admit and understand that the Jews, after Masada, were displaced and scattered, salt and pepper, they call it the diaspora, essentially for literally centuries, millennia, almost two millennia, until about 1948 when they were recognized as an official nation state and has since been stamped Israel, better perhaps stamped Judah, but nevertheless carry the name Israel, and in a way it's right because the Jews are Israelites. And therein lies some of the confusion, because you see, all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. People forget this. They forget the fact that Jacob had 12 sons and the Jews were only one tribe. And so today we consider, well, the Jews are Israelites and that's all that it is. No, my friends, it's not all that there is. There is far more depth and rich meaning to the names of Manasseh and Ephraim when you begin to understand and track the promise of physical affluence, of blessings, of of material wealth, and you begin to understand and follow that track on how that was fulfilled. Follow me through this for a moment. Turn with me, if you would, over here to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. I was over in 48 before. Let me bring your attention to this. Chapter 49, verse 1. Jacob called now his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Now, Genesis 49 essentially is a chapter where Jacob, after he blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, it's in context here, is now about ready to bless the rest of his boys. And it says specifically, "Tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." This is a prophecy. The whole chapter profiles the remaining boys who represent the remaining tribes and what their profile, geopolitical profile, would be like in the last days. Obviously, I don't have time to go through all of the tribes, but let me bring your attention down to Joseph. Let me read this for a moment. Notice this. Verse 22, Genesis 49. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, and his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie under, the blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed." "Above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren." Did you notice that? Joseph was going to receive tremendous blessings. I could bring your attention over to Deuteronomy chapter 33, 13 through about 17. And again, you could read additional statements concerning the future condition or profile of how Israel would be in the latter times. And conversely, I can show you, my friends, prophecies that pertain to a nation carrying the name Israel that is scattered like dew across the globe, in and amongst other nations, as a young lion who could literally have its way with all nations if it wanted to, and because it abandons its God, is subject now to God's wrath. Oh, you can find that story over there in the book of Micah, about chapter 7 through about 15. And then you can read in Jeremiah chapter about 23 through about 5 verses 8 or so regarding a second exodus, an exodus of Israelites coming out of the north country that would be bigger than even the exodus that the Israelites experienced during the times when they evacuated Egypt and were carried through the Red Sea. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah the prophet says right there that that exodus will be the one that Israel is known for, even more so, shrinking into insignificance, marginalizing the exodus all of us know about, the traditional one when they left Egypt and went on down through the Red Sea. You see, my friends, many people believe that the British Commonwealth of Nations and the United States of America, as large and as predominant as they are not mentioned in your Bible. And yet, that's so illogical when you consider the fact that lesser nations are mentioned by name in your Bible. They're in there. I challenge you to get the free offers. There is no way I'm going to be able to provide you the detail that would illustrate to you the connection of the United States of America with the name Manasseh, and the connection of the British Commonwealth of Nations with the name Ephraim. But I can tell you this. Ephraim, or the British Commonwealth, were and are known as the greatest world empire the world has ever seen in its heyday, consuming 14 million square miles, and today the United States being the lone superpower remaining on this planet. Those questions beg answers in the connection to this particular promise. My friends, get the material, stay with us, listen to these few closing comments, and we'll see you, hopefully, God willing, right back here next week, the same time.
Admittedly, the Jewish people have never been a global superpower, blessed with enormous natural resources. Instead, they have been a people without a nation until 1948, when the United Nations, at that time, recognized Israel as a legitimate nation-state. Obviously, world history proves that the promises of material blessing, such as agricultural bounty, physical health, technological advancements, industrial production, and military might, was never achieved by the Jewish people to the degree and magnitude described prophetically in your Bible. For over 500 years, the British Commonwealth of Nations and the United States of America have been leading the world in the development of human rights, economics, and technology. At its peak, the British Commonwealth controlled 14 million square miles of planet Earth. The United States, the last remaining superpower of the Cold War era, is now, in many respects, a worldwide policeman. Undeniably, the brother nations of America and Britain have been a blessed culture. Together, fighting for freedom and liberty against tyrannical movements throughout the world. Yes, they have been a figurative source of milk and honey for much of the world. Sadly, however, that is changing. God is not amused by our society's abandonment of the founding principles of our nation as outlined in the Judeo-Christian Bible. The times, they are a-changing. And the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh are slipping away. Won't you allow us to help you to understand this incredible prophetic knowledge that will guide you into sharing the worldview that God has? Dial now, 888-578-8791, for today's free offer, an article entitled North America Listen, and a CD series entitled The Biblical Origins of the British Commonwealth and the United States, which is a lecture series totaling 12 hours. We'll send the first CD to you upon request, along with a coupon for the next CD until you've received the entire free series. So friends, until next time, this is Wayne Hendricks reminding you to keep on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.